Appreciate the singing this morning. I've got a lot of loved ones that have gone on to heaven. I know where they're at, and we too shall follow. It won't be very long. We'll be with them, but while we have time and opportunity, while it is day, we need to work. We need to labor, try to advance the cause of Christ, and take as many people with us as we possibly can. I'm going to heaven. I want you to go with me. The only way to go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You must know Him and experience His forgiveness and His mercy. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be something that'll transpire inside your soul that will let you know that you're a child of God. Amen. There's evidence that comes from on high, that comes from God. We don't get our assurance of salvation from church membership. We don't get our assurance from salvation from being part of a particular family or being part of a particular group or going through some steps or some works or some laws or precepts. We get saved by Jesus. And when you are putting your faith and your trust and your confidence solely in Christ, when you really have saving faith, well, there's a witness within you that occurs. There's a witness that comes from God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what the Bible says. You have to be born from above. You have to experience something inside of you. It is described as a well of water that springs up into everlasting life. When you really repent and put faith in Jesus Christ, you move from being a child of the devil to becoming a child of God. When that transition takes place, when a new life comes in you, it's something that you know about. It is described as passing from death into life. I mean, to be resurrected. A spiritual resurrection takes place inside of you. You suddenly have a new life in you that wasn't there before. That's being saved. And apart from that, you're not saved. You've got to have that. You've got to experience what the Bible teaches in passing from death into life and becoming a child of God and being saved. I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus, you know, comes to our lives and it changes us, it transforms us, it cleanses us. I mean, we once were blind, but now we what? We see. When you go through that transition where you were going through life blind and you suddenly can see spiritually, that spiritual transition is something that you know about. It's a no-so salvation. We call it no-so salvation because when it occurs in your life, you know the Lord. You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. There are a lot of things that we don't know, but when a person gets saved, they know they're on their way to heaven. They don't know that from reading it in the Bible. They don't know it from reading it off a card or reading it off a track. They know it because of the witness of the Holy Spirit. And that's missing from a lot of religions. They don't know anything about conviction. They don't know anything about repentance. Repentance isn't even preached in a lot of churches. I mean, if you come to this church, you're going to hear repentance because that was the message of John the Baptist. He came out of the wilderness of Judea preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus Christ, his first message, what he began to preach when he was anointed and we went forth from house to house and town to town and city to city, he told people they needed to repent. He said in the 13th chapter of Luke, "Except you repent, you'll perish. If you don't repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ, you'll perish. You'll perish spiritually. You'll perish physically. You'll perish eternally." And so it's imperative. It's very important that you make sure that you have the stuff that the Bible teaches that you need to have in order to go to heaven. A real repentance, a real faith in Jesus Christ, saving faith, something that brings you into the family of God. We sing that song from time to time about being part of the family of God. I mean, we know that. We know that we are the children of God. We're children of God by faith. We've experienced a work of grace in our hearts, in our lives. And if you've not experienced that, then you're lost. You're separated from God. You might say, "Well, preacher, I know theology. I've studied religion. I understand the Bible. I understand this or that." It's not a matter of understanding things with your head. There must be a knowledge that occurs in your heart. A spiritual knowledge. Something that goes beyond the intellect and touches the spiritual, the internal. It touches your soul. We don't believe like those that draw back into perdition. We believe to the saving of the soul. That's what the Hebrew writer said, that you believe till you know that your soul is saved. The Bible says this is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. The problem today is getting people lost, getting them to acknowledge their sinfulness, getting them to acknowledge their need of a Savior. Now, the church needs help with that. I mean, we preach the gospel, we try to lift up Jesus Christ, but we need the drawing of the Holy Spirit. We need the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's heart and life to make them aware of the fact that they need to be saved. Need to be saved. They need it more than anything else in this world. There's a burden of sin that's laid upon us that only the cross can lift. Only the cross can lift that burden of sin from your heart and from your life. And there's people here today, and I know that some of you may think that you're saved, or maybe you've been told that you're saved. What this church preaches and practices, and it's the only thing that really makes perfect sense, is this. The Lord will let you know when you're lost, and the Lord will let you know when you're saved. Amen. He's God. He's quite competent and capable of letting you know when you're saved, when you're a child of God, when you're born from above. I mean, being born from above, as we read in the third chapter of St. John, where it says, you must, everybody say must. You must be born again. And he told Nicodemus in the eighth verse of the third chapter of St. John, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone that's born of the Spirit. He was describing a spiritual experience that a person has deep inside their soul that comes from God. Like the wind, the Spirit, the Spirit blows upon your soul and you sense that, you know that. That's how we know that we are cleansed. That's how we know that we're saved. That's how we know that we pass from death into life. That's how we know that we're a child of God. That's how we know that we're going to heaven. We know it because the Holy Spirit gives us a cleansing on the inside that only He can do. Listen, folks, you can't cleanse yourself from the sins and transgressions and the iniquities that you have committed. You need the application of the blood of Jesus. And there's only one way that you can have the blood applied to your heart, and that's by the Holy Ghost. You need a Holy Ghost application of the blood of Jesus Christ. Just reading about it on the pages of Scripture is not enough. Now, I believe in proclaiming the Word of God. And we try to proclaim it and lift up Jesus and lift up the bloodstained banner, so to speak. We try to lift up the cross. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men into me. Now, let me mention something here. This is really important, okay? Let me say this. When there's a discomfort, a spiritual internal discomfort that occurs as a result of the Scriptures, folks, listen, that's not me, that's not this church, that's God. The uneasiness. We don't like to face our guilt. We don't like to face our shame and our sins. We try to avoid it. I mean, from a very small child, we try to avoid being found guilty or being found where we've done something wrong. And so we try to avoid it at all costs. But there comes a point in your life, listen, there comes a point in your life where you need to face your sins and your iniquities and realize that you need to be saved. And there's only one way to find the Lord, and that's to seek Him out. I mean, seek the Lord with all of your heart and trust in Him unto the believing and the saving of your soul. Listen, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, this is a good day to be saved. Amen. What a resolution. What a New Year's resolution to find the Lord. I'm going to know the Lord this year. Oh, if you just seek Him out, you'll find Him. Amen. Bible says that those that come to God must believe that He is. You must believe that He is, that He's a saving God. You must believe that He's a God that redeems
a God that transforms people's lives and changes people's lives. The Bible says that when a person gets saved, they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. The Bible says you must believe that He's a God that saves, a God that redeems, a God that gives eternal life, a God that can transform and change your life, bring you out of darkness into His marvelous, glorious light. You must believe that He is a God that saves and redeems, a God that sent His only begotten Son to the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for you, to die in your stead, in your place. See, we believe in this at this church that Jesus Christ, He's a substitutionary atonement. This thing gets very personal. Very personal, where He took our place. He died in our stead. He took the wrath and the judgment and the penalty of our sins, of our transgressions, the things that we've done that has offended God. Those things require a penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve death. And so Jesus came. He came to die. Amen. He came to die for us. God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You must believe that God is a God that saves, a God that redeems, a God that forgives, a God that provides eternal life, a God that so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son to save you and die in your place. That's why faith is necessary. That's why faith is required. You must believe in Jesus. You must trust in Jesus to be your substitute, to be your Savior, to be your advocate, to be your atonement. You must trust in Him to take your place for the sins that you've committed that has offended a holy God. Those that come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. I'm preaching from Hebrews 12, okay? 11 to 12. He's a rewarder of them that do what? That diligently seek Him. You do realize that you'll never find the Lord unless you seek Him out. You'll never know the Lord unless you pray. You'll never experience His saving grace unless you humble yourself. You'll never experience eternal life unless you call upon the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You've got to pray. You've got to seek the Lord. You've got to call upon His name. You've got to try to turn from your sins. You've got to put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Not with your head, but with all of your heart. He saves those that trust in the Lord with all of their heart. The Bible says in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, it says clearly that our sins, all our sins, it stains us, it separates us from God, it keeps us distant from God and far away from God. Oh, my friend, though, when your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west, when you're washed, and though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Amen? Yeah, I mean, when your sins are removed, when they are shifted off of your life and off of your soul onto the Savior, and He takes your place, and that transition occurs deep inside of your soul, when you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Oh, seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to God. If you'll turn to God and call upon His name and seek Him out, He will abundantly pardon. Amen. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've come across a lot of different kind of people through my ministry and during my life. And you know, I've tried to point people to the a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, I'm often disturbed by what I've seen in my ministry. Different ones who have tried to counsel and help. Or I realize they have maybe good intentions, but they deceive people. They mislead people. They tell people they're okay when they've not received the new birth, when they've not experienced eternal life. And that's disturbing. I mean, that's disturbing to me, because I know that unless you touch the throne of grace, unless you come hold of, lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ with the spiritual aspects of your soul, you don't really know Him. The Bible says in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, some of the most frightening words that are ever recorded by the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the most disturbing words that He ever said are these. He said on that day, we're talking about the day of judgment. There's a day of judgment coming. Well, the secrets of man's hearts are going to be revealed. You know, you can put on a good front here, and a lot of people do. We've had people that have come to this church, and they've been baptized in just about every church in Hendersonville. They come here, and they think they're Christians, and they think they're all right, and then they come into the sound of me. Some of them run because they don't like what happens here at this church is that that your soul becomes exposed before a holy God. You know why? Because we are preaching the Word. The Word is sharp. It's like a sword. Preaching ought to get down in your heart and pierce you, prick you, and trouble you. The Word of God, the Bible says in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, verse 12, the Word of God is sharp. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividings under of soul and spirit and to the very joints and marrows of the heart. It discerns the heart. And the Bible says in the next verse that it opens the life up and exposes it to God. And suddenly you're open and you're naked before Him to whom you have to do. Exposed before God. Now, when that happens, I mean, when your heart is open and exposed before God, and you know, I mean, you just know. You just know, because it's not the preacher up there telling you. It's not people around you. It's not this church. It's the Holy Ghost awakening you, making you aware. The things are not right. This is fraudulent. It's not real. And you need the real thing. Folks, that's God. And then the ball's in your court. And you need to diligently seek Him out. And folks, He will reward you. You want to be successful? You want to be prosperous in the upcoming year? You come to know the Lord. It will cause a soundness, as it says in the 119th Psalm. There's a soundness that comes to your life and to your heart when you come to the living Word. You'll be put on a solid foundation. God will establish your goings, make your life anew. And you know what will happen? For the rest of your life, you'll have the Lord with you. Amen. I mean, the Lord will be with you. He won't leave you nor forsake you. You'll sense His presence. We sang that song about feeling the Lord. I mean, it's more than a feeling. It's not a fluffy feeling. It's a reality. It's a spiritual perception that Christ is with us. That He's in our hearts and in our lives. God is in us by the Holy Ghost. And we sense the presence of God in our lives. And no matter what we go through, He's there. And I don't know what lies ahead for you over this year. I venture to say that some of us won't be here like we are today. I mean, we live in a very vulnerable and difficult world. It's troublesome what happens from year to year. We've lost some this past year. We've lost friends and loved ones. Addie's in the hospital this weekend. You know, there's a lot of things. This world is full of sin. And the consequences of sin is death. And there's this brevity of life. I mean, you'll just turn around. It's like a vapor. Your life is like a vapor. Everything's going good and things are fine. And you're here for a moment and then, poof, it's gone. Come on, folks. The Bible says after death, in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, is the judgment. Amen. 9 to 27. You know, the Bible says that every person knows that they're going to die. You need Jesus in your life, and you'll especially need Jesus when you die. Amen. Oh, the Lord, He is my shepherd. Amen. That psalmist knew the Lord as his shepherd being present in his life. He said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. He's with us. And even when we come to that crossing, just like Treva did, just like Angie's uncle did, and others that have passed on over the last year, when you come to the crossing, the Lord will be with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I'm just going to go and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Oh, well, praise God. I'm glad I'm saved. Aaron, get a song. I'm done. You know, listen to me, folks. You might say, well, you know, you guys, you put a lot of pressure on us to make sure that we're saved. Certainly I do. Jesus did that. The apostles did that. The early church did that. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ still does that. You need to make sure that you're called. You need to make sure your calling and your election. You better make sure that you've been chosen of God. You need to make sure of that thing. Need to know the Lord and make sure the Lord knows you. Anyway, let me go back to Matthew chapter 7. I didn't forget. The most awful and disturbing statements made by the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that's most alarming is this. He said on that day of judgment, He said that many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, done many wonderful works, and in thy name cast out devils? He said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, oh, my friend, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. These were religious folks. They were religiously lost folks. Did you hear that? They were doing things religiously. I mean, they were casting out devils. They were doing works in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were not saved. He's going to say to the religiously lost. There's a lot of religious lost out there. Amen. Religion won't get you to heaven. You need Jesus. Lord, Lord! I mean, here they are on the outside of heaven, not able to go in. And they're, Lord, let us in. He said, no, no. Depart from me. You know, you can do works of iniquity and self-righteousness. And that's what they were doing. It's not based upon our righteousness. It's based upon the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that we go to heaven. Not of any works that we have done. No, it's through the merits of the cross, through the work and the life of Jesus, that a person goes to heaven. Depart. Oh, those words. Can you imagine? ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. God have mercy. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, I'm going to open up this altar. We're going to have an altar prayer. We need to have another altar prayer like we did in Sunday school. I want to say to those of you that are lost, you got to seek Him out. You've got to pray. Okay, you got to call on the Lord. You know, He's a rewarder of salvation to those that diligently seek Him. You got to seek the Lord with all of your heart. You got to trust in Him. You got to turn from your sins. You got to put your faith in what Jesus did. Listen to me. You must put your faith. I mean, you've got to entrust your life, your entire life. And I'm talking about the Lordship of Christ here too. Your entire life to Jesus Christ. You got to make Him as your Savior and as your Lord. You can't hold anything back. You got to completely surrender it all to Him. And listen, folks, you can go away from here knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Not a hope so, think so, maybe so. See, we believe, this is what the early church preached, a no-so salvation. Paul said to be absent from the body is to gain. I know. Even Job was read in Sunday school. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to receive a glorified body. I'm going to see Him. Though the skin worms devour this flesh, yet these eyes shall behold Him. Praise God. Yeah. Stand your feet. God bless you. If you're here today, I can think of nothing any better that could happen to your life the first Sunday, the first Lord's Day of 2016, than you to nail this thing down between you and God and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your Shepherd, as your High Tower, as your Fortress, as your Buckler, as your Refuge. He will be a refuge in the time of the storm. If you will come to Him, make Him your Savior and your Lord. If you're here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God. Oh, you may have had some form of salvation, but not the salvation that Jesus preached in John chapter 3, or the salvation that Jesus preached to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. You've not experienced Him as the bread of life, like in John chapter 5. If you've not experienced what He talked about in John chapter 6. If there's not a new life in you, if you've not been raised up. Listen, He said in John chapter 5 and verse 24, He said, hear, listen, oh, just listen, Jesus said, hearken to me. He told people, He said, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to condemnation. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to have the condemnation of sin removed from your life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. That's what I got. What Jesus said in John 5 and 24, I have that. The condemnation removed. A new life in me that wasn't there before. It came from on high. People, that's the only way you can know you're really saved. As we sing, if you're here today, you've never been saved by the grace of God, won't you step in the aisle? Won't you come nail this thing down? Listen, folks, if you'll just surrender your heart, oh, if you'll just surrender, if you'll just come praying and calling on the Lord, seeking His forgiveness, His way of salvation, not the religious world's way of salvation, I'm talking about His salvation. Right, Perry? Just come seeking His salvation. That's what Perry prayed down at the Sonic when he got saved, left here one Wednesday night. He said, I'm not seeking the Baptist way, the Methodist way, the Church of Christ way. He said, I just want your salvation, God. Listen, if you'll come seeking the salvation that's in God, you'll find it. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, you'll find it as we sing.